You think with all the humidity, I wouldn't need a drink once in a while. Your pastor asked me to preach on the psalm. And Psalm 27 is a psalm I have read with a lot of people going through some tough times, sometimes those under hospice care. I'll read this and some of the other psalms. And because those words, God is our light and salvation, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life, of whom shall I be afraid? And so that is what the psalmist was facing, obviously. He needed a stronghold. He needed some hope. Because what is said in this psalm also is a host, the enemy, is encamped, an army against me. All right? Think about that. That's a lot of people. And they're all against you. They're all out for you. This is not good. And so he clings and trusts that God will be his stronghold. Some translations say refuge. Some say protection. The NRSV says stronghold. I believe the psalmist, who's already a believer, goes back to time. There goes, I knew I didn't have that. I should have put it in my pocket. That thing didn't bother me. You know, you ladies need to turn away. I knew when I put that on today, it wasn't going to stay. I should have just put it in my pocket. Sorry for that. I'll know at the second service to do that. Now this comes off, boy, I'll tell you. Lord, help me. Maybe I need another drink of water. Well, anyway, he doesn't want to feel alone. And when we hear that he believes God is his stronghold, his refuge, he says in our text that he's going to shout out, sing out loud, and make melody to the Lord. Right? That's good news. Now, we Lutherans know we don't proof text. We've got to read the whole chapter. Because that's when we find out that there's a bunch of people. He says, God, do not cast me off. Do not forget me. Do not put me in the hands of my enemies and the liars. They're still around. Uh-oh. What we hear today sounds just like good news, and he lived happily ever after. But the storm was still there. But then it turns again. If we read the rest of Psalm 27, I invite you to do that when you go home, or there's a pew Bible too. He says, I believe that I will see the Lord in the land, the good of the Lord in the land of the living. So he has advice for others who might be singing. Remember, all the psalms were sung. Psalm means song. And here's what he says. Wait for the Lord. Be strong. Have courage. And wait for the Lord. Sounds like an Advent text. Because Advent's all about waiting, and people are so interested. We want to get to Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, and we've got to wait 4 weeks. We have to wait longer for Easter. But just wait. Wait for the Lord. We're not too good at that. Because a lot of us want to see instant results, instant gratification. We don't want to wait. Show me now. And many times we have felt that God's asleep at the wheel. But you hear my prayers. And that's what psalmists often said. Hear me, O God. we have to wait and wait and wait. You know, I've been here enough, you know that I'm an ER chaplain, and I just assume when I walk in the room, everybody's going to be anxious, right? Nobody wants to be there. And I tell them that the motto is this: hurry up and wait. Because if you've ever been in an emergency room, yeah, you're going to have to wait. And you want to hurry up, get the tests they're going to do, but then you got to wait. We even have a thing, a grease board, that says how long you got to wait for the test results. To wait. Hurry up and wait. So this psalmist trusts that amidst all those storms and troubles, whatever they are, calls God his stronghold, his refuge, and that he hopes in the end you'll see God in the land of living. But he says, wait. Now he does say one thing. He says, wait for the Lord, be strong. Well, if you're going through a storm, sometimes the last thing we are is strong. We're just in a panic if it's really a bad one. And yet somehow this guy has learned as he writes, and Paul says it well. He said, it was in my weakness I saw the power of God in Corinthians, the 2 Corinthians. Sometimes when we're weakest, we really are strongest because of the Lord. If we could only wait. Wait for the Lord. Wait for the answer, and it may not be what we want. We may put our name on the prayer chain of a bunch of churches and places. We figure that out, got to speed up God's answer, and yet we wait for the Lord. Anne Lamott has a wonderful quote: God doesn't give us answers. God gives us grace and mercy. Take that one home with you. God doesn't give us answers many times. I added many times. What does God give us instead of grace and mercy to live with whatever it is? Sometimes we're not cured, and we learn by grace to live with that. So where do you go when there's a storm? When I was writing this sermon, there was severe thunderstorm warnings out when I was writing. I know where I go in our place when the sirens go off. Where do you go? Now, this is not a rhetorical question. Anybody? Where's the safe place in your house or neighborhood? Where do you go? Basement. I don't have a basement. Interior hallway with no windows. Anyone else have a place other than a basement? Closet. Yeah. Some people get in the bathtub and put a mattress over them, right? Yeah. Ours probably the safest place is under the stairwell going up. When we heard the sirens, I grew up in Minnesota, just north of St. Paul, Minneapolis. When we heard those sirens, we headed to the basement. Now, the basement was not a finished basement, believe me. It's where the coal used to come in. You can imagine what kind of basement that was. It was only a half basement. We went down to the basement right away, and we sat in 5-gallon paint cans because my father was a painter. And there we sat until the siren went off and we found out we could go back upstairs. That's physical storms. Where do we go when it's an emotional storm? Something that the psalmist was probably facing, an emotional storm that has some physical things. If you think there's a whole army against you, that's also physical. As a pastor, I always assumed at my worship services, somebody sitting in that room that day was going through a storm. And so this was a place, if people of faith come for emotional storms. I had a member of my call in Colorado who came often to sat in the sanctuary. And he always said, you know, people forget what a blessed tool this is for meditation, just to sit all alone in a sanctuary. Remember when Jesus was with his disciples physically, he is with them in a boat. And remember what happens, a storm comes up and these disciples freak out and they say, save us, Lord. And he says, where is your faith? If we believe, what I think is the main tenet of our faith is that God is with us. Christmas reminded that with the word Emmanuel, because that's what the Hebrew means, God with us. Then we can get through it. So that was what I think Jesus was trying to teach those disciples. It's through faith. And they were all going to face some terrible things. We know that according to church tradition, all but one was killed in terrible ways because they were a follower. Wait. Strong, even in our weakness, have courage, wait for the Lord. Now, Garrison Keillor has kind of fell out of favor again, but in one of his books, and I've seen him in person a couple times, and the last time was at the Paramount, and for 7 minutes he chanted, being a good Lutheran, and now he might be Episcopal, I don't know, but he grew up, you know, a very conservative sect. Called Church of something. What's happening now? No, I don't think so. But anyway, he chanted. And then he started, oh, give. And everybody joined in. And we sang with him for like 4 or 5 minutes. It was a worship service. Well, he talks about in the book about he lived a little bit in the country. And what do you do in Minnesota where he grew up? He grew up about 30 miles from me. When a storm, a blizzard comes in the wintertime, well, the school had established for each child from the rural area a storm house. And so he tells a story that a blizzard came, and so he knocks on the door. He was assigned the Clockles, an older Catholic couple. Of course, he was Protestant. And he said he was sure that the Pope had required that all these Catholics that take in Protestant children, that they make them say the rosary before dinner. Which, of course, wasn't true. But anyway, he knocks on the door. Mrs. Clockle opens the door, and she said, oh, you're our storm child. He said, yes. Well, come on in. I will fix you some hot chocolate, and I have oatmeal cookies for you. And so they talk for a while. And after a few minutes, she yells up the stairs, hey, Carl, guess who's here? And he says, is it our storm child? Yes, indeed. I'll be right down. Do we all need to have a storm place? Is that times we're storm children? Everybody knows this is a four-letter word where you're sitting. It starts with nave, right? Comes from the word navy. Same word. Here's where you come to bob about. Sometimes it's rocky in your life, right? This is where people weather the storms. If you go to Scandinavian churches, I know the Lutheran churches of Sweden all have above the pulpit a ship, because a lot of those men didn't come back. They were all sailors, and so, but that they still believed. Here's where we come to weather out the storms. And how do we do that? Through the words that are spoken and shared, it's through the bread and wine, it's through the music, the preparatory, and afterwards. Of course, nobody ever listens to the organist before the service, but anyway, it's all to prepare us for worship. It's the people next to us who are life preservers also many times. I mean, my guess is you know that if something happened to you, people would be knocking on your door with a hot dish or a casserole or something, or giving you support and love. You just, if you don't assume that, talk to your pastor and say, you got to start preaching that. I have every belief that you are like every other Lutheran church I know. we take care of people, not only ourselves, but people outside. And obviously, they're feeding people every day, Monday through Friday, which is a blessing. So think about, maybe there's a place you go in your own home. Jesus said, pray, shut the closet door. So that serves two purposes. If it's a physical storm, you're in your closet. And if it's an emotional storm, you're in your closet. And both times you're praying. So there you go. So God gives us strength by knowing that we're not alone. And that gospel text, I'll tell you how tempting it was not do what your pastor asked me to preach on the worry text. But I was asked to preach on Psalm 27. Don't worry, it says. Yeah, right. Because tomorrow's worries are tomorrow. You got enough worries for today. I learned this in a conference many years ago, and I've never forgotten it. Guilt is the past running amok without God in the present. The past, some sin, something we feel terrible about, that we never believed God forgave us for, and it's just ruining our life today. And worry or anxiety is the future running amok in our life without believing God is with us. There you go. Guilt and anxiety, polar opposites, but the same cause, not believing God is with us. Well, I did a strange thing for today. I had written this poem at the second service. I'm going to use the second one I wrote. I had written this poem. You know, I end every sermon with a poem. And I saw this scribbling on a piece of paper. I thought, wait a minute, I thought I wrote a poem for today. And it was a different one. So this, you get one at this service, but you can come back for the second. You get the twofer then. But this is called Where Do We Go? When storms blow their indiscriminate fury as foreboding darkness to envelop all creatures, we go to basements, storm cellars, or bathtubs with a mattress, our cover. Where do we go when past sins rise up and we, like Adams and Eves, cower behind cover-ups, denials, and finger-pointing? Where do we go when anxiety, worry, doubt, fear, panic, grief, and chaos grab us by the throat and we gasp for air? The psalmist points us to God, a light, a stronghold, a refuge, the shepherd, the rock, the shield, whose steadfast love endures forever. Some of us go to a special place or a special person to wait out our personal storms. Or we go a place within us where the Lord has met and welcomed us in the past. If you do go through a storm, I invite you to journal, because in the future you will realize from what you journal what your prayers were, what scriptures read, how you got through it. So you've written your own. You've become a psalmist. You've written how God was your refuge and strength, which is Psalm 46, a very present help in trouble. Amen.